Good afternoon. Hope you all had a pleasant meal. You won't be able to see the details here, but I have a card here that has two objects on it. They're actually two pennies. One of them is, well, it's not so new anymore, but it's still shiny. It was minted back in 1994. And what's interesting, as many of you know, when you get a shiny new penny, there's just a certain warmth to how it looks. Reflects the light fairly well. And if you keep a new coin in mint condition, you know that it actually increases in value over time. And the image on this coin, because it is new, still shiny, clearly and very easily displays the motto, "In God We Trust." Now the other one, when I was in, oh, I think it was seventh grade, I was out back messing around in the dirt, and I found something. I didn't quite know what it was. I knew it was a piece of metal. It wasn't a rock. So I blew the dust, wiped the dirt off of it. Couldn't really tell what it was, so I brought it inside, and I washed it, and I scrubbed it. And try as I might, I just could not get the tarnish off this coin. I could only clean it as much to note that it was a 1919 penny. Could barely tell that. But there's a huge difference here, because with this coin, because of the environment that it was in, it became dull and tarnished. And it doesn't show the motto very well of "In God We Trust." You really, really have to look carefully to see that. And probably the only way that this piece of copper can be returned to the brilliance that it once had is by a crucible of fire to burn away all the impurities. Each of us here who have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ have been washed clean by his blood, and we continue in that. We try to change our ways, but we have to ask ourselves the question, and during our lives, have we allowed our lives to become tarnished like this coin? So what I want to do today is talk about how we can keep our lives untarnished and in mint condition. Now, as you know, Genesis tells us that mankind has been created in God's image. All of us have. But those of us who are here today have something even more. Because you see, God has called us to be a holy people. Turn with me to Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26, we see that calling. Leviticus 20, 26. "And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." See, as with ancient Israel, the Israelites of old, God has called us to be separate from the worldly society around us. Let's take a look at that again by turning over to the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, we'll be reading verses 6 through 8. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 to 8. "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep an oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." The days of unleavened bread remind us that we are to be a holy people. How do they do that? Well, here's a question for you. Now that we're here in the seventh day of unleavened bread, how would you like some freshly baked bread? just right out of the oven, steaming hot, maybe a little butter or something else, and the smell as it fills the house. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? Except for one thing. Today, we are still in the days of unleavened bread. And the one thing that is wrong with desiring that hot, freshly baked bread is that God has commanded us during these days to put that out of our lives. What the days of unleavened bread show us is that we need to learn to change what it is that we desire. There are a number of things around us in our society that may look pleasing, maybe something that we want to be involved in, but we really have to look at it with one thing in mind. Are those desires in accordance with God's commands, His statutes, and judgments, and laws? Do we want these things based on God's standards? So what does that mean for us on a day-to-day basis? Sometimes it's easy to forget, but, you know, every day we have choices that are put before us. We have to decide on things that we're going to do, things that we say, even things that we think, and certainly things that we desire, that we want for ourselves. And we have to evaluate those choices based not on what the society around us thinks is acceptable, but on the one thing. And that one thing is what we desire in accordance with what God commands, with God's way of life. Because when we choose to associate ourselves with something, to be involved with something, or to be involved with someone that is not acceptable to God, how does that affect us? Does it change us? Does it change the things that we're associating with? The Bible clearly shows us a principle about this. Job asks that very same question. If we associate with something, we who are to be called to be holy, associated with something that is not considered as holy, does that change what we're associating with? Or does that affect us? Job asks that question in Job 14, verse 4. I'm not turning there real quickly because it's very short, but he asks the question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And he answers that question, no one. There's nothing that we can do, nothing that we can think that will make something holy. Only God can do that. Let's look again in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Again, a very succinct statement about this principle, but it's there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Paul writes to the Corinthians, to us, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Again, the principle that although we're called to be holy, if we do not associate with what is holy, then that changes us. We do not change that. And finally, to emphasize that again, just to show you that this is a principle that is throughout the Bible and something that we have to be aware of on a day-to-day basis, let's turn to Haggai. In Haggai chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 11 through 13. Haggai 2, verses 11 through 13. Thus says the Lord of hosts, now, ask the priests concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? And so the priest answered and said, "It shall be unclean." The principle is there. We are called to be a holy people to God. And yet, if we don't learn to set our desires, what we want, what we do, based on what is acceptable to God, in accordance with His laws, it removes our holiness. It tarnishes us. Because associating with the society's desire doesn't make them acceptable. It changes us. And God's instructions to us concerning this are very clear. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read God's instructions on this. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 17. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." God has called us to be holy, His holy people. And He wants us to be holy because He is holy. The days of unleavened bread remind us that what we want in life needs to be based on God's law and not on what this world finds desirable. And as we go from day to day, do we evaluate what we want based on what is acceptable to God? Jesus was once asked about paying taxes. He in turn asked about the image that was on the coin and concluded the conversation by saying, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." Whose image is on the coin of our lives? Do we clearly see in God we trust inscribed there? Or do our actions tarnish that image? Does it change it? As these 7 days wind down this afternoon on toward evening, let's strive to remain untarnished and to give to God that which is His.